chapter 3 this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness to us. You have shown your love to us in that you sent your Son to die for our sins and rise again. Dear God, that anyone who believes and trusts in what Jesus Christ has done for us will be immediately saved and forever and eternally have a home in heaven reserved for them. And then we'll begin that life-changing process that your Spirit does from the inside out. And God, we thank you and praise you for that. I look to you, Heavenly Father. I ask that you would fill me with your Spirit, help me ministering the Word of God to the church this morning. I thank you for the Word that's gone forth already, the adult Sunday school hour, the children's Sunday school hour, for giving grace and Spirit filling there. Pray for my dear wife for laying the message in sign. Fill her with your Spirit and help her, dear God. And be with those in the nursery now, fill with thy Spirit. Help your people to understand your word. Help us to draw closer to you through understanding your word and applying it to our hearts and lives. Help us to be the lights in this world that you will enable us to be, the salt in this that this world needs. And dear God, we know that it's only you through us that can accomplish that. And so we look to you for those miracles in our hearts, God, that we might be changed more and more into the image of your Son as we fall in love with your word, as we fall in love with you, and as we, through you, begin to love others more. Help us in all these things, we pray, in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So I've entitled the message this morning, A Threefold Cord. There is a verse in Ecclesiastes, the end of the verse, in Ecclesiastes 4:12, that says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's interesting to think about how many things in life have three parts or are built upon three. Mankind, we have what? Body, soul, and spirit, according to 1 Thessalonians. Body, soul, and spirit. The God we worship is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Water, which is the very foundation of life and sustaining life, is made up of what? H2O. One hydrogen and two oxygen. And there are many others that we could point out there. But a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And as we look at Colossians chapter 3 this morning, these first four verses or so, I want us to see a threefold cord that we have in Christ. A strength that we look, this bond that we have in and that we share with Jesus Christ. Because this is, you know, he is the bridge that God sent down to us. I was listening to a preacher on the radio sometime this week, and He was talking about how God made everything, the universe. God is not contained in the universe. The universe is contained in God. He's bigger than the universe. Now, that ought to blow our minds, amen? And we could not know him had he not had what? Aren't you glad he became flesh? Amen. We could not know God. Jesus said, "No man hath known the Father save the Son whom he has sent." God is going to be revealed to us by the Son whom he sent. Otherwise, we couldn't know him. If he hadn't one day humbled himself and became a man, we wouldn't be able to know him. But yet he did that. And we see this strong connection that we have in him. And I want to look at this threefold core just for a little while this morning. First of all, we see our share in Christ's resurrection. Our share in Christ's resurrection. Verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above." Christ indeed has risen again. And we'll see a few things about this fact here. First of all, the resurrection of Christ is a fact of sacred history. And we have a historical book in the Bible, in the book of Acts. Acts gives us what? The history of the starting of the church. It's the only historical book that we have in the New Testament. There are many historical books in the Old Testament. We have that precious book of the book of Acts in the New Testament tells us about the resurrection of Christ. Luke was a very good writer, very chronological in the Bible. And he writes this in Acts 1 and verse 1. "The former treatise have I made," that's the book of Luke, "O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion," that's talking about his crucifixion, "by many infallible proofs." Can't be disproved, Luke said. "Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Not only did he raise from the dead, he stayed around on earth for 40 days and taught them more things about the kingdom of God. The Bible will go on to say he was seen of above 400 witnesses at once. It is a fact of sacred history. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. You need to memorize those first four verses of that chapter. Well, there you have the gospel contained. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul writes, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." What? How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and what? And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He rose again. It is indeed a fact of sacred history. One man writes a poem regarding this resurrection. "The day of resurrection, earth tell it out abroad. The Passover of gladness, the Passover of God. From death to life eternal, from this world to the sky, our Christ hath brought us over with hymns of victory. Now let the heavens be joyful. Let earth her song begin. Let the round world keep triumph and all that is therein. Let all things seen and unseen their notes in gladness blend. For Christ the Lord has risen, our joy that hath no end. And that certainly is true. It is a fact of sacred history, the blessed resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What else do we see about this resurrection? Well, it is also a fact of sound theology, sound teaching, sound preaching. If you are not preaching and teaching the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can call yourself a false teacher or a false preacher, because that's what happened. He rose again bodily. And if I were not teaching that, you could call me a false preacher or a false teacher. It's a fact of sound theology. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, some were beginning to believe that there was no resurrection. Some false teachers were teaching that. And so Paul obviously clearly taught that in his preaching, that Christ rose from the dead. And so he writes in 1 Corinthians 15:13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found," what? "False witnesses of God." Paul says, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, I'm a false witness. Because I've preached to you that he has. By the way, he goes on to write, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, he says in 1 Corinthians 15:18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." And every believer that has died is just gone. You'll never see him again if Christ hasn't risen from the dead. Paul went on to write in 1 Corinthians 15:19, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." That's what Paul wrote. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, I don't worry about the afterlife stuff. It's just enough. It's enough for me to believe in Jesus now, live for Jesus in this life. Whether there's an afterlife or not, it doesn't really matter." Mm-hmm. You don't really mean that. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul's counsel was this: if there's no afterlife, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the apostles' counsel on how we ought to live if there's no resurrection. And Paul himself said what? If there is no resurrection, if we have hope only in this life, if Jesus is only all that he did so I can have a good life in this life, Paul said we are of all men what? Most miserable. Why is that? This life is so brief, isn't it? And there's so much pain and hurting and sorrow in this life. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, "Well, I think we're living in hells right now," you know? No, they haven't studied the Bible doctrine of hell if they think hell's right now. This place is just messed up because of our sin and our listening to the wrong spirit, the wrong spiritual being. And it's a fact of sound theology, the resurrection. What else about the resurrection? It's a fact of spiritual experience. He says in verse 1 here, "If ye then be risen with Christ." See, the moment you trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the moment you believe that he did everything required for you to get to heaven, and you place your trust in that, the Bible says you're born again. And by the way, you're not born again until you do that. As long as you're trusting in something in you, and you haven't trusted in what Jesus did, you haven't been born again yet. You've got to trust in him. And that moment you trust in him, then your spirit is made alive. The Bible says the part of us that connects us with God, enables, helps us to commune with God, that part of us was dead before we got saved. We could not commune with God.
We couldn't even come to Christ to be our Savior unless God miraculously began to draw us. We wouldn't be able to do that. We wouldn't think a thought of God. But in our spiritual experience, He draws us. We yield to that drawing. He saves us as we trust in Him. And our spirit is resurrected. We have a spiritual life now that was dead in us. We now have a pulse for God. We have a heartbeat. Before, if someone would have examined us, they would have taken those stethoscopes the doctor has. Of course, they have all kinds of other instruments now, I'm sure. But they'd have put it on there and said, I hear a heartbeat. The flesh is beating. Let's check that out. Yeah, the flesh is alive. Their human body's alive. Let me check their human nature. That heart beats there. Let me check their love toward God. Let me check the spirit that connects them with God. Flatlined. Dead. Nothing. Quick, bring that, whatever they call those paddles. Quick, let's try to revive. No, dead. And when you trusted Christ as your Savior, He resurrected your spirit. He put His spirit in you and me so we could have communion with Him. It's a fact of spiritual experience. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. We're born again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Since I trusted Christ as my Savior, my time was about 30-some years ago. Now I was 21. Since that day, I've had an inheritance in heaven. The Bible says it doesn't fade away. God's never going to take it away. I didn't do anything to earn my salvation. I can't do anything to lose it. You see. God did that for me. So it's a fact of spiritual experience. Watchman Nee was a great missionary or preacher in China in the mid-1900s. Here was his testimony about salvation. He says, from the evening I was saved, I began to live a new life. For the life of the eternal God had entered into me. Later, when he was called by the Lord to carry out his commission, he adopted the English name Watchman and the Chinese name Tusheng, which means the sound of a watchman's rattle, because he considered himself to be a watchman raised up to sound out a warning call in the dark night. And that's what God has made us. He's made us all, in a sense. We ought to be sounding out the gospel. Watchman Nee tells about, I'm talking about being God's child, having an inheritance. He talks about a new convert who came in deep distress to see him. This new convert says, as he came to me, he says, no matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot seem to be faithful to my Lord. I think I'm losing my salvation. And he said, do you see this dog here? He's my dog. He's house trained. He never makes a mess. He's obedient. He's a pure delight to me. Out in the kitchen, I have a son, a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws his food around. He fouls his clothes. He's a total mess. But who's going to inherit my kingdom? Not my dog. My son is my heir. He says, you are Jesus Christ's heir because it is for you that he died. You see, we are heirs through what Jesus did for us, not for anything we've done there before or after. And we can rejoice in that. It's a fact of spiritual experience. Ephesians 2:1, and you, believer, hath he quickened or brought to life who were dead in trespasses and sins. That describes you and me before we got saved. He has made us alive.
in Ephesians 2, 5 says this, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. You see, if Christ hadn't died and risen again, you wouldn't, and I wouldn't be able to be made alive spiritually. Together with Christ, by grace are you saved. He hath raised us up together, Ephesians 2, 6. Where we have life because Christ rose again. I'm so glad of that. That's why giving your testimony as a Christian, how you got saved, is a wonderful way to witness. Because if you got saved, hopefully you can see that Christ is changing your life. And you know what? People can argue against a Bible verse and a doctrine, a theology, but it's hard to argue against a transformed life. There is no argument against a transformed life. What are you going to say to a drunkard who, like Mel Trotter, you know, who sold his baby's last pair of shoes to get some alcohol before they put the baby in the coffin? That's how much of a drunkard he was, and like he got saved, and the Lord gloriously transformed him. What are you going to say against that?
Amen.
That what? That's the light that we're called to be as we share that message. As we share that message. No argument against it. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We no longer walk in the old paths. Peter says, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. In 1 Peter 4:4. We don't walk the same paths. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 tells us why Christ died for us and rose again, who gave himself for us that he might what? In Titus 2:14, he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's the way that we ought to be. Have that changed life. To go along with that heart-changing message. Now listen. Most of the world is not going to rejoice over your changed life and my changed life. Most of the world is really not going to be thrilled about that. Why? Because John chapter 3, men loved darkness rather than light. See, people aren't sinners against their will. People are sinners because they want to be sinners. They're sinners because we were sinners because we love sin. We love saying, it's my life, I'll do what I want with it. We love saying, I'll live where I want to live, I'll go where I want to go, I'll say what I want to say, I'll do what I want to do. We love trying to be the God of our own life. By the way, which is really the apex of sin, isn't it? And so they're not going to get excited, perhaps, when they see that your life has changed and that what? You have another master. It's no longer yourself. Now it's who? Now it's the Lord Jesus. And now we follow him. The world's not going to be excited about that. John 15:17, Jesus says, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Most of the world is not going to want this Christ that you and I have and know. And that's a truth that you and I have to live with. But thank God there's always a remnant, amen? There's always some that will hear. Most of the world won't be excited. Isaiah 59:15 says this, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. What's that saying? People are turning against truth. You know, it's no longer a virtue, considered a virtue by the world, to say that marriage is between a man and a woman. The world doesn't consider that a virtue anymore. It's
It's no longer a virtue to preach there's one way to heaven. The world doesn't think that's a virtue. They think these things are actually evil. Closed-minded. Listen, I will be as closed-minded as this Bible tells me to be. Because there is only one truth. People want the truth to be, what's the word? Subject to what? They want the truth to be changeable. Truth doesn't change. Truth is the truth. The world doesn't think it's virtuous today to look at a little boy and say, okay, you're a boy and you're a girl. I'm going to raise this boy to grow up to be a man, and I'm going to raise this little girl to be a woman. The world doesn't think that's virtuous today. They think that they can decide which gender they want to be, and they don't believe there's just two. This is the world we live in, folks. They need us, don't they? Please don't be mad at the people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, remember? Where'd that blindness come from? That blindness came from the devil, the god of this world, amen? And any one of those people who believes all those things I just said can be transformed in a moment by faith in Jesus Christ, amen? And they can end up having the same viewpoint that you and I have. Why? Because we'd have the same spirit. And we'd get it from the same book. Let's not look down on people. They're not our enemies. They're the ones that we're trying to save. And by we're, I mean the Holy Spirit through us. Reaching out. Paul said, I made all things to all men. What? That I might by all means save some. And we reach out in that same way. We live for Him. And our lives are changed through the power of Christ. The Christian life is lived only by the power of the resurrected Christ. Galatians 2:20. Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's Christ living in us that makes the difference. One little 3-year-old felt secure in his father's arms as dad stood in the middle of the pool. But dad, for fun, began walking slowly towards the deep end, gently chanting, deeper and deeper and deeper, as the water rose higher and higher on the child. He's chanting this, deeper and deeper and deeper. The lad's face registered increasing degrees of panic as he held all the more tightly to his father, who, of course, easily touched the bottom. Had the little boy been able to analyze his situation, he would have realized that there was no reason for increased anxiety. The water's depth in any part of the pool was over his head. Even in the shallowest part, had he not been held up, he would have drowned. His safety anywhere in that pool depended on Dad. At various points in our lives, all of us feel like we're getting out of our depth. Problems abound. A job is lost. A loved one dies. Our temptation is to panic, feel that we've lost control. Yet like that little child, what we have to recognize is we've really never been in control. It's always been more than we can swim in. We'd have always drowned had our Lord ever let us go. But He's hanging on to us all the way. God, the waters are never too deep for God. Amen. Never too deep for our Lord. Therefore, we are safe in life, even when we feel ourselves, what? Going deeper and deeper and deeper than we've ever been. God still has a hold of us. You're born again. And we need not fear. We saw our share in Christ's resurrection. Secondly, let's consider our share in Christ's rapture. Our share in Christ's rapture. Verse 1 says, if you be risen in Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, when I say Christ's rapture, I'm talking about Christ being taken up into heaven.
I'm not talking about the one that we're going to experience. That's coming later. I'm talking about we have a part in the fact that Christ went back up to heaven. And where is he seated now? At the right hand of the Father. And what do we share in that? Since Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, we share in his place of strength. The right hand of the Father, by the way, he's the sovereign of the universe. Can I say a phrase that is any more powerful than that? God is the sovereign of the universe. He's in control. He has all power. And by the way, Jesus had all power. What is given unto me, go ye therefore. In other words, you'll have all the power you need through me. We share in that strength. And in that strength, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18. Go ye therefore. This is what we're supposed to do with all that power. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I have all authority and power, Jesus says, and here's what I want you to do with it. Here's how I want you to use it. Be a light. Reach out to the world through your life, through missionaries, being faithful in the local church. And by the way, that rapture there. One day we're going to be caught up with him. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. We share in his place of strength. What else do we share in? His place of satisfaction. What's he say? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then verse 2, set your affection on things above. How many of you think heaven's going to be a wonderful place? Amen. I mean, it's going to be a wonderful place. But you know, I'm so glad that we can have joy now. I'm so glad I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to have a relationship with God and with his Son. Amen. We can have that right now. And we should be having that right now. We should be experiencing some of that peace and joy that the Holy Spirit gives. David wrote in Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And the more like Christ you and I become, the more satisfied we'll be in this life. The more peace we'll have, the more joy that we have. But I don't know, there's some suffering in there. That doesn't matter. You say, well, explain that, preacher, I can't. The Holy Spirit will just make you and I happy and joyful and satisfied, even when we have to suffer for Christ. David wrote, Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's our wonderful God. What else do we share? In his place of security. He's at the right hand of God. You're dead, and what? Your life is hid with Christ in God. You know, when you got saved and Jesus Christ began to transform your life, you know what the world says? What's happening? It's hid from them. Why were you a drunk before and you're not a drunk now? You didn't go to AAA. You didn't, what transformed you? The Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, what I believe with all my heart. If the Bible calls it a sin, Jesus can deliver you from it. Amen. You don't need anything but his blood, his word, and God's people are what he uses in that deliverance. Amen. He'll deliver you from it. He changes lives in that way. We have that place of security. Our life is hid with Christ and God. We are sheltered in the hand of God. John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father, Jesus said, are one. And Jesus, I've got you. And Jesus says, by the way, my Father, God has got you. And he said it was his hand and his Father's hand. Why? Because he is God. It's one and the same hand. He is God. And we're in his hand. That place of security. What a joy we have. We have what? John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believes on him that sent me, what? Hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but what? Is passed from death unto life. Stepped over that line, remember? Now I'm saved. I was lost, now I'm eternally saved. Praise God. That moment you trusted Christ. And don't you love Romans 8:28? You know that all things what work together for good. Amen. For them who love God, them were the called according to his purpose. You know, real estate people will tell you, when you're looking for a house, there's three things you got to remember when it comes to real estate. What is it? Location, location, and location. And you get that right, and you'll have joy and happiness in your new dwelling. We know there's no guarantee in that, right? You know, the Bible uses the term, let me tell you, the best location to be, it's in Christ. Amen. 77 times in the New Testament, we have the phrase, in Christ. Amen. Let me tell you something, that's where it's at. And it don't matter where your earthly real estate is, amen. If you're in Christ, you can be full. You can have a full, satisfied life in Christ. It don't matter if you're in the heart of in the heart of the ghetto or out on the mountaintop somewhere is where your house is. That don't matter. If Christ is in your heart and the head of your home, then you can have that joy. Amen. And that fullness of life. It don't matter what income you have. It don't matter what color you are. It don't matter what gifts you have or don't, what talent you have or don't have. If Christ is first, you can have that joy and that fullness of life. And then finally, we've seen our threefold cord, our share in Christ's resurrection, our share in Christ's rapture, and we see our share in Christ's return. Look, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He's coming back. Amen. He's coming back for us. Christ, whose life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What do we share in here? The life of Christ now. He is our life, and we share in that life now. We have his life in us. Christ, who is our life. I thought about that threefold cord that can't be broken. He's the one that gives us our strength and all those things. I thought about Abigail, when Abigail was David's second wife, and she met him while David was running from King Saul. She went and took some food for David and his men, and she made a statement about how David was godly and Saul was ungodly, chasing David, trying to kill him. And she made this statement about David. She says, a man is risen to pursue thee. That's Saul. She says, you've been right with God. No fault's been found in you. And she goes on and says, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord, talking to David, shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Did you know that when you got born again, you got bound in the bundle of life with the Lord God? You have his Holy Spirit living in you. You can never be separated from God once you're born again. No. You're bound in that bundle of life. Regardless of what the world does, whatever's around you. What a blessing. What else do we see in this third part of our share in his return? The lordship of Christ, we share in the life of Christ now. He's the one who lives the Christian life through us. He is the one who gives us that power. And when he returns, we will share in the lordship of Christ then. Look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What's he talking about that there? I believe he's talking about when he does come at the end of the tribulation. We will have already been gone up with him, the church. And you know what? Revelation says we're coming back with him. Amen. When he comes back with that banner from his shoulder to his thigh that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When he comes back to judge the world, he came in mercy and grace and humility the first time and was crucified. When he comes that time, he's coming back in exalted power, not to save the earth, but to destroy the unbelievers. And when he comes back, we're going to be behind him. All the remnant who, and by the way, you read your Bible in Revelation and such, they hate God and they know God. They know that it's God working all those things. And they reject God. He comes back and destroys the unbelievers. And what begins? The millennium. A 1,000-year reign of Christ. And the Bible says we reign with him for 1,000 years. 6 times, I think, the Bible says it'll be 1,000 years. So what do you think of the preacher? What do you think he means by that, preacher? I think he means he's going to reign 1,000 years. That's what I think. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple to me. Well, it doesn't figure. All things about God don't have to figure to me. He made me. I just believe his word, okay? And we're going to reign with him 1,000 years. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. Can you imagine when God blows that trumpet and we're made as much like Christ as we're ever going to be? Wow. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, I was thinking about this threefold cord that God has given us in Christ. Part his resurrection. That's when God gave us a heartbeat. The moment I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior, I became spiritually alive. If the doctor could take the stethoscope and put it on my spiritual part, then he'd say, we got life! We got life! The moment I trusted Christ, I became spiritual alive. That first part there is where I got my spiritual heartbeat sharing Christ's resurrection. And you know what God does? Now that we're alive, now he sends down what? He sent. We got a spiritual heartbeat. Now he sends down his spiritual hand. That's his spirit and his word in us, helping us every step of the way. Carrying us. Remember the father in the pool? carrying us through the Christian life. Guiding us. Without me, what? You can do nothing. Jesus, I will do it all through you if you'll trust me. And that takes a while for us to learn that. Matter of fact, it takes a lifetime. We're still learning that. But he reaches that heart. He gave us that heartbeat. Then he gives us that hand in the spirit. And then what does he do with our share in his return? He gives us that hope. Why? Because this life only lasts a little while. I believe you're getting older, realize this time it flies by, doesn't it? Isn't that water going fast under the bridge? I've got 8 grandkids now. My kids are grown up. That water goes faster. This life is a little blip. But what did our Lord say? Set your affection where? On things above. Listen, doesn't that make sense? If there's a line here, we're going to live on earth, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, I don't know. And then we hit that line. And then after that, what? We're going to be with God for all eternity. Which side should we be living for? Amen. It only makes sense. We should be living for things on the heaven side. Amen.
Because we're going to be with God forever there. Serving Him, worshiping Him, singing praises unto Him. That's going to be a glorious, wonderful time. Seeing our Lord Jesus Christ face to face, talking with Him, you know, about many things in Scripture. No doubt about many things that weren't written in Scripture, perhaps about His ministry and all those things. Seeing those scars in His hand. Seeing Him share His love for us from His own mouth. And our having the opportunity to share our love for Him from our own mouth. That's a time we ought to be living for, amen? That's where we're going to be most of the time. By the way, most of the time by a long shot, amen? Not even close. So God says, take this little blip and shine bright. Be a light. Be salt. Because what we do now carries rewards over into eternity. After, when eternity comes, there's no more rewarding. We can't do any more things through faith like we can now, because faith will be sight then. There won't be any more faith. Our faith will be turned to sight. And we can serve God then and forever and be thankful that He has helped us through this life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this threefold cord that we can share. This strength of life that it gives us, that we have our very spiritual life because Your Son has risen from the dead. And God, that counts for us because He did that. He bore our sins and gave and became the perfect sacrifice and rose again. And we are raised again spiritually the moment we trust in Your Son. We have that spiritual heartbeat. We now have a love for You that wasn't there before. We have a love for others and for Your Word that wasn't there before. And we understand that that love can be nurtured and grow the more we yield to Your Spirit. Your hand reaches down, having given us a heartbeat. Your hand then reaches down to help us, encourage us to grow. And God, should we be discouraged about the difficulties of this life, You have given us the hope and assurance of eternal life. All that we suffer here will be rewarded. As many as trust You as Savior will be on the other side with You in eternity. And as many as You would reach through us will be there as well. Oh God, what a wonderful life You've given us to live. Give us a love for people that is supernatural. Give us a love for Your Word that is supernatural. It is of Your Holy Spirit. A love for Thyself, dear God, of Thy Spirit. May the things of earth grow strangely dim. May our loves to this planet and the things on this planet grow cold. And our love for You grow hotter and grow more zealous. And may we be more like Your Son in the things that He loved and in the things that He hated, those things that are grieving to You and that would glorify Your name. Oh, Father, we need to grow. Help us in these things to be more like Your blessed Son. We thank You for Your gentleness, Your kindness, Your wonderful love to us. Father, help us to live this day for You. I thank You we could worship together this morning. I thank You for every way You've spoken to us. Father, through Your people, through the songs, through the Word of God, and might we just leave this place walking closer with You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.